Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. So today is January 15th, 2012 in Radhadesh. Today is Ganga Sagara Mela. This is when it's a big celebration about the Ganges. Had I known I was going to speak today, I would have brought my whole Ganges PowerPoint and set it up. And we would have had a whole Mother Ganges meditation. Today's also Makara Sankranti. This is, I believe, the only festival, Vaishnava festival, that's celebrated according to the solar calendar, which is really bizarre, because it's supposed to be the day that the sun enters into Makara. You know how Krishna wears Makara earrings? Anybody know what Makara is? Krishna always wears Makara earrings. Capricorn, the sign of Capricorn. His earrings are like that. Sometimes Prabhupada translates it as dolphin or shark because there isn't a specific creature. So this is Makara Sankranti, and this is when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took sannyas. And I do not know why it's always celebrated in India on January 15th, although astrologically, you know. Yes. Do they wear red and yellow too? Or is that a different festival? So everybody can go visit the cows and the bulls today. But why is, there we go, Bhagavati's happy. But why do we do it on January 15th, even though astrologically it's not? Because all the other festivals are by the lunar calendar, and this one's by the solar calendar. Do you have any idea why? I'm not sure. Okay, well, thank you for adding that. Very nice. Okay, so we're continuing to read about Mahaprabhu's instructions to Sanatana Goswami. And if you all remember, way back when, the introduction to the section that Mahaprabhu gave was about the three... Who remembers? The three what? Starts with an R in English and a DH in Sanskrit. Riches, three riches of life. What were the three riches of life? Yes. Huh? Oh, it's a very good guess. Very good guess, but no. Three riches of life. Mahaprabhu is spending all of this chapter and the next chapter on the first, then the chapter after that on the second, and the chapter after that on the third. Yes. Excellent, thank you. Last one is Krishna Prema. Very good. Excellent, first class. And what were the other two riches? Before you get Krishna Prema. Prayojan is Krishna Prema. And the other two? Abhideya and Sambandha. And how did Mahaprabhu define the Abhideya and the Sambandha? He had one verse where he said, Sambandha, Abhideya, Prayojana. And then he said the three, the last one being Krishna Prema. These are the three riches of life. And now he's talking about them. I I know some of you are here for that class. I got to be a better teacher. All right, so the Abhideya is Krishna Bhakti, Krishna Seva. And the Sambandha is Krishna, knowing that I'm part and parcel of Krishna. So the three riches of life were Krishna, Krishna Bhakti, and Krishna Prema. Krishna, Krishna Bhakti, and Krishna Prema. Those are the three riches of life. We had a whole class about riches. Anybody remember now? Little spark of remembrance? We had a class about riches and what's your real wealth and what do you actually protect. And then we talked about Mahaprabhu after giving that table of contents. Chapter 1, Krishna. Chapter 2, Krishna Bhakti. Chapter 3, Krishna Prema. He's now going to describe each of them. And so now he's talking about Krishna. For all of chapter 20 and chapter 21, he's talking about Krishna. Chapter 22, he's going to talk about Krishna Bhakti. Chapter 23, he's going to talk about Krishna Prema. Okay. So here talking about Krishna, he's establishing that Krishna is the supreme, Krishna is the ultimate. We're part and parcel of Krishna. Okay, so we're reading first text 52. So I'll just read through this, 152. This is Madhulila 20, the Lord Instruction Atan Goswami, text 152 to 153. So I'll read 152 myself. Krishnara Swarupa Vichara Shuna Sanatana Advaya Gyana Tatva Vraje Vrajendra Nandana. O Sanatana, please hear about the eternal form of Lord Krishna. He is the absolute truth, devoid of duality, but present in Vrindavan as the son of Nanda Maharaj. So although he's the absolute truth, and he has no duality, there's no inside, no outside, no this is Krishna, this is not Krishna, and still he's the son of Nanda Maharaj. And let's look at today's verse. So just looking here at the Bengali, I think you can figure out the meaning. Sarva Adi. What would that mean? Yes. The source of everything. Good. Sarva Amsi. What's an Amsa? Yeah. What's an Amsa? A limb, a part. So what's Sarva Amsa? Well, it could be. Amsa just means part. So sarva means all. Sarva amsi is are the part, all of the parts. Kishora, what's Kishora? Small, but not too small. That's Kumara is really small. And Kishora is what? No, baby is Kumara. How old boy? Puganda is a little boy. 14, yeah. 11 to 15, 16. Okay. Shakara, anybody know what Shakara means? We have Chandra Shakara. I often use the word Shakara. I think it's part of a temple also. It means the supreme. Chit Ananda Deha. Okay, what is Chit? Knowledge, Ananda, bliss, Deha, body. Okay. Sarva Ashraya, shelter of everything. Sarva Ishwara, the Lord of everything. Okay, so Mahaprabhu has just described that the non-dual absolute truth is Vrajendra Nandana, Vraja, means the pasture. Vraja literally means pasturing ground. Endra means chief. Vrajendra Nandana, the son of the chief of the pasturing grounds. So Nanda Maharaj's son. And then someone may say, well, just this little boy, he's the absolute non-dual truth. And here, what is Mahaprabhu saying? Just looking at the Bengali that we just went through. What is this verse saying? Who's Kishora? Krishna! Krishna where, specifically? In Vrindavan. In Vrindavan. When Krishna's in Mathura and Dwarka, he's Yovana, not Kishora. So what is this verse telling us about Krishna? Okay, he's the source of everything. Everything's part of him. He's the Lord of everything. He's the shelter of everything. And his body's full of bliss and knowledge. And what about Kishora Shekara? This form of youth in Vrindavan is the supreme form. Okay, why don't we chant the Bengali together now with some understanding. Sarva Adi Sarva Amsi Kishora Shekara Chidananda Deha Sarva Shraya Sarvishwara Sarva Adi Sarva Amsi Kishora Shekara Chidananda Deha Sarva Shraya Sarvishwara. Please chant. Sarva Adi, origin of everything. Sarva Amsi, sum total of all parts and parcels. Kishora Shekara, the supreme youth. Chit Anandadeha, a body of spiritual blissfulness. Sarva Ashraya, shelter of everyone. Sarva Ishwara, the master of everyone. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. Krishna is the original source of everything and the sum total of everything. He appears as a supreme youth, and his whole body is composed of spiritual bliss. He is the shelter of everything and master of everyone. Purport. Krishna is the origin of all Vishnu tattvas, including Mahavishnu, Garbhadakshai Vishnu, and Kshiradakshai Vishnu. He is the ultimate goal of Vaishnava philosophy. Everything emanates from him. His body is completely spiritual and is the source of all spiritual being. Although he is the source of everything, he himself has no source. Advaitamachyuta manadi vanantarupam majam purana purusham navayovanam cha. Although he is the supreme source of everyone, he is still always a fresh youth. O Sanatana, please hear about the eternal form of Lord Krishna. He is the absolute truth, devoid of duality, but present in Vrindavana as the son of Nanda Maharaj. Krishna is the original source of everything and the sum total of everything. He appears as a supreme youth, and his whole body is composed of spiritual bliss. He is the shelter of everything and master of everyone. So we all have as our goal, our prayojana, to enter into some relationship with someone or something, some relationship that's reciprocal. We want to do something that others value, and we want to be valued, and we want to value others. That's basically, if you analyze everything that everyone is doing, even the insects and the animals, they're all looking for some exchange of pleasure, ananda. And how to do that, how to enter into that relationship, is one of service. So that's the Abhideya and the Prayojana. The Prayojana ultimately is love. I mean, some people fall in love with their cars or their cats or their country. We were talking the other day about how Bharat gave up attachment to his home. So to their country, to their machines. Most persons, however, most living beings, try to have some loving relationship with another living being, and they do that by an exchange of service. So the question then becomes, the first question becomes, Who is that living being where if I render service, I will actually get the satisfaction that I desire? And everyone asks this question in one form or another. You know, who is the person I should marry that if I marry this person, there'll be a nice exchange of love? Most people are asking that question. Or nowadays people don't marry. What boyfriend or girlfriend should I have? But, you know, what person? Or what company should I work for? Where there'll be some reciprocation of caring and of value and of meaning. Or if one goes a little higher than that, I want to find something more than just ordinary material relationships. If I want to find God and spirituality, what God? What organization? How do I understand God? One devotee in New Zealand gave me a link to a blog posted by one woman who's now visited the Hare Krishna temple. So she's faith shopping. She's trying this religion and that religion. And she said she was in Buddhism for a while, and she said, I think I'll try something else. And she's driving in her car, and she said, whoever you are, my dear Lord, give me a sign. And then she literally sees a sign, Hare Krishna Visitor Center, straight ahead. So she goes to the temple, and she describes how she goes to the temple. And then as she walks in the grounds, she sees one devotee, and she thinks, oh, he looks really familiar. And she realized that she works in the same office that he does, but she never knew he was a devotee. And then she describes the next time how she comes to one of the programs. And then she writes in one of her blogs, she says, how do you know what's the truth? She compares it to playing a game of poker. She says, you place your bet without knowing what the other people have in their cards. It's only after you place your bet that all the cards are on the table and you see. So one may be looking, you know, for the perfect wife. One person's looking for the perfect wife, the perfect husband. Another person's looking for the perfect job. Somebody's looking for the perfect country. Someone's looking for the perfect cause, the perfect humanitarian or ecological cause that I can devote myself to, or the perfect career. You know, what can I devote myself to that I will find the fulfillment I'm looking for? And other people may say, who's God? Of course, most people just devote themselves to whatever religion their parents follow without really thinking about it a whole lot. And here Mahaprabhu is establishing that the supreme, as Prabhupada says, the supreme personality of Godhead, the supreme person, the supreme place, the supreme lovable object where we will actually get fulfilled is Krishna. Not just God. Not just God. And not just some force or some energy. And not even all of the very forms of God, but this form of God. And first of all, you have to know who it is, right? Then you can start the relationship. You can't start the relationship with the company, with the country, with the other human. You've got to know who they are first. You don't, if someone wants to get married, they don't just write a love letter to the air. You know, they just don't, to my dear beloved who I don't know who you are, and put it in the mailbox. You've got to know the person first. So, you know, Atri Muni had this problem, that he was just saying, you know, my dear Supreme, I don't know who you are, but whoever you are, I'd like a son like you. Why he particularly wanted that, I don't know. And so the devas, they didn't know who he was talking to. You know, could you imagine if we stood up at the morning program, we make announcements, and we say, this is an announcement for the most important person in the temple. So everybody would thinking, is it me? So the devas, they were all thinking, you know, is Atri Muni talking to me? Oh, the supreme, you know, master. And it ended up that Brahma, Vishnu, and Shiva all showed up. And they said, you know, we don't know who you're talking to. So we've all come. And of course, he had three sons that were each expansion of each of the devas. It was interesting that when Gajendra prayed to the supreme, only Vishnu showed up. The other demigods didn't come. They can understand that actually he's talking to Vishnu. So we have to know who is our object of love. So let's look first from a detached, analytical point of view. Why is Krishna the supreme object of service and love? Remember the three riches, right? Krishna, service to Krishna, and love of Krishna. And before Mahaprabhu describes service to Krishna and love of Krishna, he's describing Krishna. Before I'm going to give my service to somebody or something or some place or some organization and try to develop love, I've got to be convinced that that person, that machine, that place, whatever, is worthy. That when I give myself, I'm going to become satisfied. Yadyatma supersedity. It's very interesting in the 12th chapter where Krishna says, if you can't do this, do this, you can't do this, do this. And finally he talks about karma pala tyaga, give up the fruit of your work. And Prabhupada says, in this regard, we can encourage charity because a person will eventually ask, where's the best place to give charity? You know, you give, right? We all give something. We give our time, we give our money, we give our energy. And often we're disappointed, or always we're disappointed. And then we think, well, I've got to find a better place to give. I've got to find a better person to give to. So why not from the beginning decide who's the first place? So let's look analytically. All right, we want to go to who's the source of everything, the origin. Anadi Adim. So that who has no origin, and who is the origin? And who contains everything? Sarva Adi. Everything is within him. That means whatever little satisfaction I get from serving my dog, my cat, my son, my daughter, my husband, my wife, my girlfriend, my parents, my country, my boss, my, you know, we've gotten some satisfaction from this service. That's contained in Krishna. He's the sum of that. He's the origin of that. All the parts and parcels, sarva amsi. Mamai vamsa jiva loke jiva bhuta sanatana. Mamai vamsa, amsa again. So whatever little drop of satisfaction that I've gotten from anything that I've served, anyone that I've served, that's all contained. And anything, and any other manifestation of Godhead, it's all contained. Chidananda deha, his form is full of knowledge. When I serve other people, other things, they don't always know, do they? You know, I may ask advice. This morning I was thinking, I have to make a decision. Should I do something or not do something? And then I thought, who will I ask? Nobody I ask will know what will be the result of doing it or not doing it. You ever in that situation? Should I do this? Should I not do this? And I thought, I don't know what the result will be. And I realized even not doing it is also a choice. I thought, not doing it, there could be a bad result. Doing it, there could be a bad result. I thought, who could I ask? And all the people I thought to ask, I thought, well, they don't know either. So often the source, the place we go, the object of our service is ignorant. They don't actually know our heart. They don't know how to please us. They don't even know half the time what we do. In order to value us, they don't know how to reciprocate with us. They don't know what we should do. Again, whether that's our spouse, our parents, our children, our country, our business we work for, they're full of ignorance. So Krishna here, he's full of knowledge. He actually knows. He knows who I am. He knows what I've done. He sees the little service I do, staying up till 2 in the morning to get the festival ready that nobody else sees. He sees all of my sad stories of sacrifice and austerity. He sees that. All of the times that I served him when I was sick or when I didn't want to, when people criticized me. He knows everything about me. He knows my faults. He knows my good qualities. He knows all of my lifetimes. He knows everything about me. And he knows everything about everything. He knows exactly what I should do, exactly what result, what action will bring what result. He knows exactly how to reciprocate with me. Therefore, yadyatma supersedity. He can be the only one who fully satisfies me. And ananda, he uses this knowledge for pleasure. Some people may know all about me, and they would use that knowledge of me to hurt me. Now, you ever had somebody who knew something about you and you wished they didn't know anything about you? You know, But Krishna knows everything about us and everything about everything. And his reciprocation is ananda. He's full of pleasure, and he only wants pleasure for anybody else. Deha, he actually has a form. The Supreme is not formless. Or just some. How can you actually have ananda with the formless? How do you do that? How do you have pleasure with formless? And Sarva Ashraya, he's the shelter. He can actually protect. He can actually care for. So we've given our time, our heart, our energy to so many shelters that weren't shelters. You build a house and the plumbing doesn't work. You give your heart to some person and they're not what you thought they would be. And ultimately, nobody, no organization, no country, no family, no person, no, like we were reading about Bharat, no pet. Even our own body, our own intelligence, our own knowledge, our own talents, our own social connections, none of that can give us shelter. And we get reminded of this over and over and over and over again. Now, this is not a shelter. It's like, you know, you build a house out of just sticks and leaves, and the rain comes in and the wind blows it away. But Krishna is Sarva Ashraya. He's everyone's shelter. He can give shelter to everyone. We were just actually reading that in our Skype classes. How Krishna gives shelter to everyone. Krishna and Balaram give shelter to everyone with their arms. Maharaj Yudhisthira was talking to Arjuna about how everyone in Dwarka is under the shelter of the arms of Krishna and Balaram. And Krishna gives so much shelter with his arms that just with one little finger, he's giving shelter to so many. I mean, Nanda Maharaj had 900,000 cows. Just imagine how many cows the other gopas had. As it were, millions. It was a very big community. And they all took shelter under Govardhan Hill. Sarva Ashraya. And Sarva Ishwara, he's everyone's master. He's actually the controller. Others cannot give us shelter because they can't really control anything. You know, you can put your money in some investment, but there's the little print there that says, we cannot guarantee this. You've seen that, right? If you invest your money with it, we can't guarantee it. You may lose all of your money. Why? Because they're not controllers. Even if you buy the most solid investment, stocks and bonds in the government, governments have fallen. They cannot guarantee, they're not the controller. No government can say, yes, we're definitely going to be here 40 years from now and being able to pay back your investment. They're not the controller. No person you love can say, yes, I will always be here for you. I mean, they can sing songs like that. Until the stars shine, and you know, I am always going to be your love. But they can't control that. The next day they may get hit by a car, and then where's their love? You know, or the next day they may fall in love with somebody else even. What to say about getting hit by a car? They're not the controller. You know, only Krishna is the supreme controller. Only he can say, I'll always be here for you. Only he can say, I can give you protection in all circumstances. Only he can say, I thoroughly know you. Only he can say, I have no selfish interest. I just care about pleasure. And only he can say, everything is within me. Prabhupada would often say that a person may be very rich, but he can't say he owns everything. You know, Bill Gates is a very rich man, but he doesn't own this building. They're limited. So this is Krishna. So one may think, okay, well, he's the source of everything. All the parts are within him. He has all knowledge, all pleasure. He has a form. He's the shelter of everyone. He's the controller of everything. We must be really big. Really big and really strong and really old, nadir, adir, kind of scary. But no, Kishora Shekara, he's a young boy. Young boys aren't very scary. Like my grandson, who's not in the room right now, for I don't know why. Anyway, who I'm traveling with, he's 15. He's not very scary. You all scared of him? He's not scary. So that's actually what Krishna's like. Krishna's just eternally 15. He's a young boy, and he's very playful. He's the son of Nanda Maharaj. He's not even appearing as a king. He's appearing as we're reading in the previous verse. Vrajendra Nandana. Vrajendra. But he's Vrajendra Nandana. He's the son of the chief of Vraja. He's a young prince who herds cows. I mean, in materialistic society, no offense, but materialistic society, like a cow herder, is not a very high status position, is it? You know, if your daughter says, oh, I'd like to marry a cow herder or a sheep herder. Krishna also herds goats, you know. There's goats and buffalo in his herds. That's in Krishna book with swallowing the forest fire. So, you know, just like when my oldest sister went overseas to study, and she told my parents that she fell in love with some boy who didn't have much education and his parents kept goats. So they weren't very thrilled. You're marrying into a goat-herding family. You know, Prabhupada often talks like the residents of Vrindavan, they're not very educated, just villagers. So although he's the biggest and the origin and everything and the shelter of everyone, he's a young boy who takes care of animals in the forest and sports on the bank of the river. And he's not even very, how do we put this, moral. He steals butter. He dances with girls in the middle of the night. So he's fun. So this is the ultimate shelter. And if we think about it, that's the kind of ultimate shelter that actually, we want. We want to just have fun and play. I mean, who wants to work? Anybody here want to work? So we said, all you have to do is play. We're going to have an eternal party, an eternal teenage party. Where we just play by crystal clear rivers and have forest picnics. And we can go through all different seasonal forests and play all kinds of games and play tricks on the elders. And that's what we want to do, actually. And it's interesting that that's the ultimate meaning. You know, in this world we think of meaning as like I feed people or I provide some building for people or, you know, I do something on that level of eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. I defend people. That's how we think about meaning. But Krishna's ultimate meaningful activities are all sports. You know, again, in this world, that what's something meaningless? Entertainment, sports, it's just something to kind of refresh people and pass the time. But that's the ultimate meaningful activity. Krishna doesn't have some work to do. He doesn't have something to accomplish. So it's simply fun. So that's our ultimate goal. So I believe that all of us sitting in this room have already accepted that that's our ultimate goal. That's why we're sitting in this room. We already have some attraction. You know, we already decided that a 15-year-old boy who, you know, is a very soft body, the only signs of work are those very small indentations on his fingers from playing his flute. He doesn't get calloused hands. And he doesn't have calloused feet. He's very soft feet. That this playful youth is the ultimate goal of life and the supreme absolute truth. Right? Beginning of Bhagavatam, Param Satyam Dhimahi. I meditate on the supreme truth. And the supreme truth is this boy. This young boy who's always engaged in pastimes of love. So that's, we can understand logically how that's actually very reasonable, that what we're looking for in everything else would find its ultimate expression in Krishna. So then the next question becomes, am I living like that? Am I living like Krishna, the young boy of Vrindavan, Kishora Shekhara, is actually my shelter? So my godbrother, Sridhar Maharaj, who's disappeared from this planet, but when he was present here, he urged me to read something from Stephen Covey about what's the center of your life. So I, out of respect for him, I read it. And it was saying people have different centers of their lives. Some people, the center of their life is money. Some people, the center of their life, I'm sure I can't remember all of it, is their career. Some people, it's their family. Some people, it's their spouse. Some people, it's friends and enemies. Which I didn't understand that when I read it, but since then I've seen that it's true. Some people, their whole life is centered on who's my friend, who's my enemy. Let me cut down my enemy. For some people, it's their church. Now, his idea was that your highest center is that of dharma, of principles. He didn't put God in the center. But we should notice, what's our center? I remember that one of my sons, in reading that, said to me, Mata, is Krishna your center or is the church your center? I said, Krishna's my center. He said, are you sure? You know, we went down. I said, oh my God, I'm not sure really, is Krishna the center? How do we tell that Krishna is the center? Where is my ashraya? Where is my shelter? Where do I take shelter? When I'm looking for ananda, where do I go? Do I go to my friends? Do I try to cut down my enemies? Do I try to firm up my status in the institution? Make sure that I've got my place in the queue to get my porridge in the morning? Is that my shelter? Where's my shelter? What do I really think about? Where is my heart? Because ye tamam prapajante tam satai vabajam yaham. And Krishna says, if you surrender to the demigods, you go to the demigods. You surrender to the ghost, you go to the ghost. You surrender to me, you surrender to me. Surrendering to Krishna isn't just intellectually understanding, yeah, Krishna and Vrindavan, Vrijendanandana, Kishore Krishna is the goal of life. Not just believing that. I had a little correspondence recently with someone who left ISKCON in 87, and I said, how could you leave Krishna? He said, well, I haven't left Krishna. I still have a couple pictures of him on my wall. So it's not just theoretically understanding and saying, I know, and I have some pictures of Krishna on my wall, and I go through the motions, which is, it's essential, but it's not enough. But do I really have Krishna as the ultimate shelter? Do I really believe that only giving my heart to Krishna will make me satisfied? Do I really have him as my supreme object of worship? Because unless that's established, one really can't engage. That's why Mahaprabhu is establishing this first. Because until that's established, you can't really engage in Krishna Seva or Krishna Prema. You first really have to have Krishna as your fixed object. So when we're chanting Krishna's name in the kirtan, in our japa, we should have Krishna as our fixed object of worship. Not just not a ritual, it's not something to get through, it's not something just we're obligated to do to be part of the society. But to really give our heart to Krishna. As the Goswamis say, you know, let me be attracted to you like a boy and girl are naturally attracted. So to take that attraction of the mind, oh, here's a shelter, here's a shelter, here's a shelter. No, bring it back to Krishna, bring it back to Krishna. So that's the purpose of our Krishna consciousness movement. So we need to be convinced of this verse, Sarva Adi, Sarva Amsi, Kishora Shekhara, Chidananda Deha, Sarva Ashraya, Sarveshwara. Not just on an intellectual level, but on an emotional level. We need to have some emotional conviction. So that bhakti is about ultimately bhava, which means emotion. That we're investing our emotion in Krishna. That I go to him for shelter. That I go to him for knowledge. And we see that everything in this Hare Krishna movement is meant to facilitate that. It's meant to facilitate that. It's not, how would you say? We don't want to get diverted. We don't want to think that the external forms are ends in themselves, or the external relationships are ends in themselves. But they're means of bringing us to this ultimate shelter and the ultimate controller, who's full of pleasure and who's always young and playful. Always reveals in pastimes of love. Adyam Purana Purusham Navayovanam Cha. Although he's the oldest, still Navayovanam, he's always youthful and fresh. So questions, comments, corrections, additions, subtractions, chastisements. Sometimes I get them, you know. Might as well ask for them. Yes, Prabhu. It's very easy. You know, Maya comes in many forms. Just like Prabhupada said that Arjuna was using Krishna consciousness to avoid Krishna consciousness. You know, Arjuna was giving so many arguments on the Shastra to avoid surrendering to Krishna. So it's very easy, even in a spiritual organization, to forget the purpose of why you're there. It happens all the time. It happened to many members of the Gaudiya Math. You know, it happened to some of the intimate associates of Mahaprabhu. This is not a new problem. This is not a problem unique to our organization. It's a problem that you forget why you're doing something. It becomes automatic. You forget the goal. Therefore, Prabhupada was asked in Hawaii. You know, there was a time in ISKCON when we felt that Krishna consciousness meant you have to live in the building. We understood whether you were Kanista Majjhima or Uttama by how geographically close to the deities you slept. Seriously, you know, if you had a room across the street, then you were in Maya. We really felt like that. What to speak of if you had a room across the street and you had your own income. So the devotees were asking Prabhupada, you know, can you make more advancement living in the temple? Prabhupada said, that depends on whether or not your mind is on a different subject matter. So, you know, people in a job, very frequently, if they have a desk, they have a picture of their family on their desk. Why? To remind themselves why they're there. So therefore we need to hear and hear and hear again and hear again and hear again and hear again that our purpose is to fall in love with Krishna. Prabhupada said the highest principle is to save others, and even higher than that is to save yourself. How are you going to save anybody else unless you're saving yourself? It should go along. Those two things should be combined. I'm saving myself by saving others. And I can only save others if I'm also saving myself. How can I tell you to read the books if I'm not reading them? How can I tell you to become attached to Krishna if I'm not trying to become attached to Krishna? What kind of mission is that? I mean, we'd be happy if people stopped killing cows, but this is not the be nice to cows movement. It's the fall in love with Krishna movement. You know, there's so many parts of serving Krishna that we'd be happy if people did. It would be nice. It would make Krishna consciousness easier if abortions were stopped and animal killing was stopped. And people started getting married again and stopped divorcing after they got married. I mean, all these things would be very nice. But that would be helpful. It would make it easier for people to fall in love with Krishna. But our purpose is that people should fall in love with Krishna. Even things like Varnashrama. We're not just interested in establishing Varnashrama. Jarasandha was following Varnashrama. We're interested in people falling in love with Krishna. So, you know, it's not like, fall in love with Krishna because my philosophy is so much better than your philosophy. It's not very attractive. So if you really think about it, how can you be devoted to the mission if you haven't internalized the mission yourself? If I'm so busy, you know, promoting health food that I'm eating while I'm running around, and I'm eating junk food running around because I don't have any time to eat healthy myself, how effective will I be? You know, if I work for Ford Motor Company but I drive Chrysler cars, what kind of a salesperson am I going to be? You know, how are people ultimately going to be, how is our mission going to be successful? Ultimately, someone's going to look at you in the eyes and say, does it work? If you say, well, it probably works for somebody, that's not very convincing. It seems to be very difficult to fall in love with Krishna. Yeah, because we've been cheating on him for a few billion lifetimes. You know, we've been having a love affair with illusion for a long time. So, first of all, he's a little wary. He's a little careful. I mean, if somebody cheats me even once, I become a little careful. Don't you? I'll become a little careful. And I've cheated Krishna, you know, I can't even count how many times I've cheated Krishna. I don't even remember all the times I've cheated Krishna. So he's a little wary. I was just reading something Shiva Ramaraj wrote. He said, it's not exactly that we have to have faith in God. God has to have faith in us. He has to believe, you know, we were just listening to Jamuna saying you need to be serious and sincere. So it's hard because to some extent, like Krishna says, He said that I'm never known to the foolish and unintelligent. By them, I'm always covered by the curtain of Yogamaya. Anyway, I don't remember the Sanskrit, which is not good. So Krishna's keeping us, he's covering himself. He's the string under the pearl, Sutri Manigana Iva. We see the pearl, we don't see the string. Why is he hiding himself? Because he's very soft and gentle and kind, and we're going to hurt him. So he keeps himself hidden. So that's one reason it's difficult. Another reason difficult is, you know, I have so many bad habits, I'm not fully convinced. So how am I going to make it easy? I'm going to make it easy. I've got to convince Krishna that I'm sincere. I've got to convince him that I'm not going to hurt him. How am I going to do that? Well, I'm going to be nice to his devotees. That would be a good start. Be a really good start. I follow the instructions he's given. If I've damaged my relationship with someone and I go to them and I say, how can I get my relationship back? And they say, well, you do this and you do this and you do this, and you got to do it. At least to the best of your ability, you've got to really try to do that. You've got to be nice to people that they love. You've got to be nice to them. So we're trying to show Krishna, I really mean it. I really want to reestablish my relationship. And then to be with other people who are attached to Krishna, that helps. And see that they're happy and see that they found what we want, to get faith like that. And think about what we're doing. I mean, if we're already doing aspects of Krishna bhakti, just think about, what am I doing? What am I doing? I'm saying names of God, and God is the same as his name. That means he's right here on my tongue. And meditate on that. I'm actually offering some food to Krishna. And Krishna is having his pastimes here, right here on the altar. And just think about it. If you can't think about it all the time, then at least sometimes. At least have some Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says this in his commentary on Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, when Rupa Goswami says, always remember Krishna, never forget him. And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, at least regularly. You know, it's not that you say, well, I can't do it always, therefore I give up. I can't think of Krishna's lotus feet 24 hours, therefore I'm just not even going to try. But at least during japa, at least during kirtan, at least when I'm reading, at least some regular time every day where this is, I'm thinking of Krishna, I'm thinking of Krishna. I meditate on him, and then he'll be happy and he'll reciprocate. He'll be thrilled, in fact, he's been waiting for a long time. He wants the relationship back more than we do, Prabhupada says. He's much more eager to have the relationship back than we are, but he wants to make sure that, you know, we're trustworthy. You know, I know a mother whose son became a heroin addict. And because he's always intoxicated, they can't really have much of a relationship. If she lets him in the house, he'll steal her money and break things. So she actually wants the relationship back more than he does. But she's not going to let him back in the house until she's convinced that he's sober. So it's not that she's keeping out of the house because she doesn't want the relationship. She wants the relationship very much. No, but he's got to show that actually he's trustworthy. So. Anything else? Anybody else? Yes. But you have to understand that it's Krishna who's giving you the shelter. Just like the Bhagavatam has many, many places, Krishna himself, speaking both to the gopis and the wives of the brahmanas, that a woman should serve her husband. And then Lord Kapila Dev says, any woman who thinks her husband is her shelter is a fool. It's like a deer being called by the hunter to its death. And Lakshmi Devi says the same thing in the fifth canto, that a woman is a fool if she thinks that, you know, some bag of skin decorated with hairs and mustaches. And Rukmini says the same thing. Any woman who thinks that her material husband is her shelter is a fool. So why, on the one hand, is the woman told, take shelter of your husband? On the other hand, in the same shastra, you're told, if you take shelter of your husband, you're a fool. What does that mean? Because it's not ultimately the husband who's giving you shelter. If you think that any other jiva or anything other than Krishna, therefore, Queen Kunti said, let my attraction be drawn to you like the Ganges forever flows to the sea without being attracted to anything else. She said, sever my tie of affection from my kinsmen, the Vrishnis and the Pandavas. The Vrishnis and the Pandavas were all pure devotees. Why was she talking like that? It was material. So does this mean women should stop serving their husbands? Does this mean disciples should stop serving their gurus? Should we stop serving the devotees? Well, you're not my shelter, only Krishna is my shelter. No. We do it as our service. Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, I take care of my family members as my service. Why am I serving the Vaishnavas? Because that'll please Krishna. And Krishna is my shelter. There's no one that can give you shelter other than Krishna. Nobody. If some other jiva can give you shelter, it's because Krishna's acting through that jiva. Therefore, we say the guru is a transparent via media. Transparent to what? The Bhagavad Gita. Okay. Let's go to Bhagavad Gita. Okay, this is chapter 18, text 75. By the mercy of Vyasa, I've heard these most confidential talks directly from the master of all mysticism, Krishna, who is speaking personally to Arjuna. Purport. Vyasa was the spiritual master of Sanjaya, and Sanjaya admits that it was by Vyasadeva's mercy that he could understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This means that one has to understand Krishna not directly, but through the medium of the spiritual master. The spiritual master is a transparent medium, although it is true that the experience is still direct. This is the mystery of the disciplic succession. So what does that mean, transparent medium? It means you're having a direct experience. And Prabhupada would say that if any guru says, I'm the best friend, then they're bogus. Why is anyone our friend? Because they're giving us to Krishna. Now, in Goloka Vrindavan, there's so many relationships. Radharani has a relationship with Lalita and Vishakha, and Lalita and Vishakha have relationships with each other and with their friends. But they know that Krishna is the only shelter. And those things are not contradictory. You have to see how both of them, they're both true. In order to get Krishna's shelter, I have to serve the devotees. But Krishna is my only shelter. Like Bibi Govinda Maharaj told me about a year ago, he said, ISKCON is my shelter, but Krishna is my only shelter. You've got to see, if you don't see that Krishna is your only shelter, if you think that anyone else or anything else is Krishna, you will be very disappointed. You'll become bitter, you'll become angry, you'll become disappointed. Your faith will become damaged. The definition of prema is that, in the nectar of devotion, is that all of one's feeling of kinship is reposed in the Lord. Now, Prabhupada gives the example, when you marry someone, you marry into their family. When you get married, immediately you get a mother-in-law and father-in-law and brother-in-law and sister-in-law. And as soon as you love your husband, then hopefully, you love everybody related to your husband. Hopefully. Doesn't always work like that, of course, but that's the idea. His family becomes your family. Your family becomes his family. Because the center is the husband. So when I love Krishna, naturally I love everyone. And I can't say I'm going to please Krishna and beat up his devotees. But Krishna is the only shelter. And Krishna is the only center. And yes, Krishna can speak through his devotees. Krishna speaks through the shastras. Krishna speaks through the heart. Krishna speaks in so many ways. We have to recognize that it's Krishna. That doesn't mean we're not grateful to anybody else either. You know, I know one devotee who had cancer, and he told me that he was praying, Krishna, I've never asked you for anything, but please, I need $5,000 to get this treatment. And the next day, somebody called him and said, you know, Prabhu, I got some inheritance money. I was trying to think of what to do with it, and all of a sudden I had this strong impression, give it to so-and-so. So he thanked the person who gave him the $5,000, but he recognized it was coming from Krishna. Both. You see, both. You don't just go to the devotee and say, well, you didn't really do anything, Prabhu, it was all Krishna. That's not going to make Krishna happy. We don't kick the postal carrier and the UPS man. We don't say, well, thanks a lot for delivering the package, but it really came from the company. You know, come on. That's not civilized. But if you think the postman is bringing you the package, the postman had something to do with it. It's not that the postman had nothing to do with it, but it's coming from the company. So the devotees, they are what do they have to do with it? What are we grateful to them for? That they're voluntarily allowing Krishna to use them as a vehicle of his mercy. Therefore, we fall at the feet of the Vaishnavas who allow us to access Krishna, without whom we couldn't access Krishna. I had to make an international call the other day and the internet was down. So I went to Manohar Prabhu, please fix the internet. He had to set up the medium. And he came in, is it working? I said, oh, thank you, Prabhu. So the Vaishnavas, they set up the medium. Without that, I can't find Krishna. They have to open the channel. And that's something that they're doing, that they're voluntarily doing. I said, Krishna say tamar, Krishna ditekar. Krishna is yours. You have the power to give them to me. So therefore I'm running after you, saying Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. So the Vaishnava is the shelter in the sense that the Vaishnava is the abode. That when Rupa Goswami explains this with Vibhav, the Ashraya and Ashritaha, that the devotee is being the abode of love for Krishna, is also a kind of shelter. But still, Krishna is the only shelter. I can only find Krishna through the devotees. I'm only going to get Krishna through the devotees. Only the devotees are going to say to Krishna, please be merciful to this person. But still, Krishna is the only shelter. If you bring me to my house, if you turn the heat on in my house, if you give me the key to my house, you're also important, but you're not the house. Is that okay? All right. Thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.